Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Future Brew right here on maizeandbrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. Join me today, as always, Steven Ostentoski and John Simmons. Boys, how we doing? There's been a lot of stuff going on. So, John, have you been able to keep up with everything going on in the past few days here?
Trying to. More like trying to track all the rumors, what's going to happen, what's not. We'll see.
It is a very interesting time, not just with recruiting, but just Michigan football in general with all these assistant coaching hires going on. Steven, how about you? How you doing, man?
Doing well. Yeah, it seems like if you're not plugged in every day, you see an assistant rumored to be hired one day. The next day, he's staying at Florida. There's a lot going on. Lots and lots going on.
Lots and lots going on for sure. And also, Michigan basketball dropping their first loss of the season. Lots going on, just football, basketball. Just a ton going on in general. We're going to stick with football recruiting today as we usually do. And we're going to talk about a couple of the assistant coaches that got hired in within the last week or so. And we definitely expect more, but we're going to stick with the two that have been confirmed that the university has announced over the last week. Let's just start right with the new defensive coordinator. Now that the Baltimore Ravens are out of the playoffs, Mike McDonald, he is going to be Michigan's newest defensive coordinator. 33 years old. He spent the last 7 years of his career in Baltimore under John Harbaugh. The last 3 years, he had been coaching the linebackers. He also coached defensive backs in 2017. And he, while attending the University of Georgia, he actually coached linebackers and running backs at a local high school down there in Athens. And he earned the program's Coach of the Year award following his first season doing that. So obviously that's what started his coaching career there and really kickstarted everything. And he also worked at the University of Georgia under Mark Richt for 3 years. So he's got some college experience, but predominantly the last seven seasons being in the NFL with Jim Harbaugh's brother there, John. Obviously doing a very good job coaching the linebackers there. They've had a lot of really good guys roll through their franchise, and he has helped develop them and become a very well-rounded linebackers coach. We'll see how it goes with the defensive coordinator position now. He's never called plays, much like Josh Gattis. But in terms of recruiting, John, I'll start with you. This is going to be a big difference from Don Brown. Obviously, Don Brown recruited Massachusetts and the Northeast section of the country extensively, landing a ton of guys from that area. David Ojabo, Akwiti Pay, Kashawn Bennett being the latest defensive lineman to come out of that area. But also Tristan Bounds, he helped kind of get to Michigan, the 2021 offensive lineman. And he's pretty much done that since he had been in Ann Arbor, but now with Mike McDonald in town, it seems like it's going to be a little bit different. He's got ties in Georgia. Obviously that's big because Georgia is a recruiting hotbed, a football hotbed. So this is definitely to me, at least a very welcome change in terms of, in my mind, I figure that he will probably assist the Wolverines getting some of those guys down south instead of focusing in on places like Connecticut and places like that in the Northeast. What say you, John?
I don't know, Vaughn. You might have to be careful there. His hometown is Boston, Mass, listed on.
we'll see. But I'm trying to be a little optimistic here, John. But go ahead, ruin my day.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely more well-versed in the Georgia southern part of the U.S. He went to high school in Georgia, so he moved at some point to the south. And so he has a lot of experience with that area. He was never an on-field coach, assistant coach at Georgia. So I don't think he has as much experience recruiting as someone like Don Brown did, just, you know, hands-on being the main contact to guys. But I think it's notable that when Georgia had a coaching change while McDonald was there, he was the first guy that they pulled from the GA spot onto the field to be the recruiter in the interim. Like, you know, they did that with Matty Dudek at Michigan last offseason, I think, when, you know, there's just a limbo in between coaches. So you always have 10 guys out there. So Georgia clearly thought well enough of McDonald to have him be the first man up and get on the phone with these guys and be able to contact them. So I think that's a good sign. But it's kind of just a big question mark right now. We'll see. I like that he's young. He's kind of an out-of-the-box hire, which I think Harbaugh kind of needed to do to save his job and has the best chance of turning the ship around here. So I think he's young. He's energetic. He's seen how a big recruiting operation like Georgia works. He was there under Mark Wright. So they were like, you know, top 10, you know, latter half, kind of where Michigan's been. They weren't opened up like they were now with Kirby Smart. But he still got to see, you know, one of the South's best recruiting operations. So hopefully picked up some knowledge there and, you know, can pair it with some good coordinating skills.
Steven, I want to ask you specifically, because you're always saying, you know, defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. McDonald's specialty is obviously with linebackers. He's been coaching linebackers the last several seasons with the Ravens there. Obviously, they've got a lot of good linebackers at U of M currently. You got Junior Colson coming in, who's a top 100 talent. You've got already got Kalel Mullings on campus. They like Tyler McLaurin a lot as well. Jaden Hood, obviously coming in, has a lot of potential there at the Mike linebacker position. Do you think under McDonald, do you think it's going to be kind of linebacker dependent, or do you think that they're going to try and bulk up the defensive line like I think they should and try and hit that position hard in 2022?
Yeah, it depends, because it depends what direction you want to take. Do they are they going to try to instill a scheme and recruit towards that? I mean, coming in, you have to evaluate what your roster looks like. And I think you're right. A lot of the youth, a lot of the positions, you have a lot of those kind of in between defensive end, outside linebacker types. So that, you know, that should, in my opinion, dictate what you do with your defense. It'll be interesting because you already have Brian Jean-Marie as your linebackers coach currently. McDonald has extensive experience with linebackers as well as the secondary. So you have just a missing piece there. So I think a big direction in which Michigan will go will be dependent on what they decide to do with the defensive line coach, right? Are you sticking with Nua, who, you know, just my opinion, hasn't shown a whole lot of pedigree recruiting the position. And, you know, with how many hats McDonald will have to wear, you know, first time defensive coordinator, first time leading a recruiting, you know, maybe he won't be hitting the road recruiting too hard, but he has to manage a staff, right? He has to manage not only the schemes, but the position coaches as well as the player personnel. There's just a lot of different things he has to do. So, you know, if Michigan can bring in like a more experienced defensive line guy who has experience as a defensive coordinator, that would be the direction I would want them to go. But I don't know. I could see it going any one of these directions, and it depends on how much they want to put on Mike McDonald's plate. I think that's what it boils down to, where if they bring in a defensive coordinator, I think you can leverage McDonald's, you know, strength that, albeit a short amount of time at Georgia, he was lauded for his recruiting ability. I mean, he's still, you know, 7 years removed from that. So it just depends on who they bring in on the staff, whether he'll have to be focused more on kind of the schematics there, or if he'll be able to put more focus into that recruiting aspect of the job. But things are so fluid right now in the defensive staff. I'm interested to see how they balance their staff with only, I think now they only have like four dedicated spots on the defense with Mike Hart and Jay Harbaugh now moved to special teams. So I said a lot there, and a lot is still to be discovered on what direction Michigan heads on, what their defensive staff ultimately will look like. And I think that's the direction that will dictate how Michigan is going to approach defense in 2021.
Yeah, there's a lot still to be determined with this coaching staff. Obviously, you already said that McDonald, with the linebacker experience, is John Marie still going to have a spot on this coaching staff? Are they going to go and get a couple other guys to fill that vacancy? I don't really know. I mean, obviously you had a dedicated a Vipers coach, things are just going to be massively different in Ann Arbor in terms of who's going to be coaching what. Obviously, they've got to go get a replacement for Zordich as well. So it's going to be a lot in probably a short amount of time. Well, let me ask you this then, just real quick follow-up, Steven. What kind of defense do you expect McDonald to bring to Michigan? And then in correlation, what kind of recruits do you expect them to go after with that defense in mind?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of film on Baltimore. I know they run 3-4. So with the personnel, does Michigan really have a guy that they can put in the middle there as your true nose guard? I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think you have more bodies at kind of the linebacker role in general to play with that. So upping that count is plausible. So I think with the amount of talented guys like a Junior Colson or more athletic linebackers, the most you can put those guys on the field at once will be the direction that they'll have to go in just based on personnel. So I don't know. I don't know what he'll do either. Right. Because it's like, we can look at Baltimore and say, this is what Baltimore did. We don't know exactly how much he had to say on, you know, what that defensive scheme looked like based on the personnel, if they had different fluidity based on what the draft board looked like to them. So I would expect to see a lot of linebackers on the field next year, just because that's the personnel on Michigan's squad right now. And the lack of defensive line depth will, I think, play into that as well as the strength of the linebacking core right now.
Yeah. I think that's going to probably, I think, if that's what it's going to be, yeah, I mean, get your best players out on the field. You probably at this moment in time have better linebackers than you do defensive linemen. So if they've got four linebackers out there at a time, that, I mean, that's what they'll have to do for the time being until they get other guys on the defensive line to fill the gap there. John, in my opinion, I think that the way that they recruit defensively is going to change drastically. They're only going kind of like what we were talking about earlier with Don Brown recruiting the Northeast quite a bit. Obviously you've got a guy like Wilfredo Ibar, fringe top 100 guy in Connecticut. You would probably expect them to continue to go after him, but a guy that's already committed, in my opinion, Tyler Martin, I just don't know if at the end of the day, they'll continue to recruit guys like him. Now they may let him stay in the recruiting class just because he's already committed and he is a four-star player and he has some potential there. But had Mike McDonald already been on staff while they were in the early stages of the recruiting for the 2022 class, it's kind of an unknown, a big question mark if they would have even offered Tyler Martin or even recruited him. So I think the way that recruiting is going to kind of go with the rest of this 22 class, it's going to be a lot of different guys that you probably aren't accustomed to seeing a Don Brown kind of go after. I think they're probably going to focus on a lot of those big defensive interior defensive linemen. I think they should at the very least. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Martins, or Tyler Martin, just kind of screams Don Brown recruit. He's the, you know, tough nose kind of linebacker that could be a fullback from Massachusetts. So I know I'm like looking at Michigan's offers at linebacker for 2022, and they have two guys really from the South that they've offered, one from Florida and one from Mississippi, and they're both you know, right on that 3-4 star edge. So I think That's an area I think you could see Michigan hitting harder. Now, if they do go to that 3-4, I think you could see a lot more hybrid guys that could be stand-up rushers, could put their hand down in the dirt to play the outside edge position, maybe like a Dallas Turner from St. Thomas Aquinas was last year. So you could see kind of more of those hybrid guys. And then, yeah, the bigger guys for the middle linebacker spots, the inside linebacker spots. I think you when you first get here, McDonald's going to have to tailor his system to the guys that he has on the roster, but he's going to start recruiting to the system he has in his mind as soon as possible to try to, you know, get that, have that transition happen as seamless as possible. And the number one for me would be that nose tackle, you know, 330-pound gap stuffer that you need for the system to work. Because I think other than that, their personnel lines up pretty well. I think a lot of the anchors and three techs will do well as the defensive tackles. And Michigan has been recruiting some of those guys like Oyabo and, you know, Katron Bedett that could come off the edge. So hopefully the transition costs aren't too huge.
Yeah, looking at the top targets page on 24/7, there's not a single guy over 300 pounds currently on the defensive lineman side of things. Obviously, I think a lot of these top targets will end up changing on defense specifically. I think they'll continue to go after a few of these guys that they've already made offers to and are kind of like the top tier guys, like Caden Curry from Indiana. Obviously, he's a top 100 guy that is going to get attention no matter what. Justice Finkley being a defensive end from Alabama. That's going to be a tough pull regardless, but I think that they would continue to go after him. Anthony Lucas could be another guy that I could see them go after who could end up getting to 300 pounds by the time he gets to college. But other than that, I think that the defensive lineman recruiting is going to change drastically under McDonald. And it's going to be, it's going to be a welcome sight for a lot of recruiting fans, just because with the way that they had been recruiting defensive ends to bulk up and then end up on the interior and take a few years to be able to do that, you're probably not going to see a lot of that moving forward under McDonald, because they're going to need those big guys right away to fill those gaps and be able to kind of do the things that Michigan defensive linemen haven't been doing a lot of over the last several years under Don Brown. So we'll definitely see how this plays out. Steven, I'll give you the last word. Any other parting thoughts on defense in general or just recruiting under McDonald?
With the lack of numbers for assistant coaches right now, because I think you have the 10 coach limit, right? Because anyway, with that lack of numbers of position coaches, I think it's imperative they get a co-defensive coordinator in to help alleviate some of the initial stress I'm sure McDonald will have in a big time role like this. Yep. So that would be the best next step if I'm Michigan. But I think it'll be it's a good move. It's a more high risk move. The thing I like most about the hire is it's a guy that we know will work well with Harbaugh because he's vetted from Jim Harbaugh's own brother. So I think that's a key component of this is a working relationship that will at least run smoothly on that front, or at least has passed that initial step where Don Brown was more of a, this is a statistical choice rather than a relationship, and having your own brother vet that decision is at least comforting from that aspect.
Yeah, he picked the apple right from his tree in his backyard, more or less, is how that hire went. Yeah, the hire for Don Brown, Jimmy probably just looked at the statistics and was like, holy shoot, who is this guy over in Boston College? And but yeah, McDonald, it's coming right from the Harbaugh family, more or less. So you can expect that to be a pretty good relationship moving forward there. So definitely excited to see how this all plays out. And if they do get they won't call him a co-defensive coordinator probably, but if they could get a guy with experience to kind of help guide the way, kind of like Phil Martelli for Juwan on the basketball side of things, I think that would go a real long way in guiding him into making good quality decisions as a coordinator in terms of not just coaching up an entire defense, but in terms of play calling as well. I think that would go a real long way. Guys, we will talk about the next edition here after our break, but we'll take our quick break right now. We're going to talk about Home Field Apparel, which is a collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. And not only is their stuff comfy, but it is officially licensed gear, so they don't screw around when it comes to their designs. The team over at Home Field studies every school's histories, traditions, and legacies to create a thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university. And they really do have some amazing original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else, from t-shirts to crew necks. They got everything you need to stay cozy. So if you're looking for some vintage apparel that you won't find anywhere else, go to homefieldapparel.com and use that promo code that we've been blasting at you over the last few months. That promo code is MNB, as in Mason Brew, at your checkout, and you will get 20% off your entire first order. So again, that promo code is MNB, 20% off that entire first order. So go to homefieldapparel.com if you have not used that promo code and start shopping today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. So we talked about McDonald in the last segment. We are going to wrap up the pod today with a recruiting talk about the other latest assistant coach to join Jim Harbaugh in Ann Arbor, and that is Mike Hart, one of my personal favorite Wolverines in my lifetime. And I'm a young guy, so don't bash me if you guys like Tim Biakabutuka or any of those other guys better, because they're great running backs. But Mike Hart, growing up, he was my guy. I had a Mike Hart jersey for Christmas one year, and I was so pumped to open that gift up. But he is going to be coming back home to Ann Arbor, and he has done a pretty good job coaching up running backs kind of all over the place at Western Michigan. Jarvion Franklin was a top back there, had over 1,000 yards, I think, for at least one season. And then he went from Kalamazoo, went to Indiana, where he's been the last few years there, and has done a pretty good job recruiting over there. Ended up flipping a four-star running back there, Samson James, from Ohio State to go to Indiana, and he helped develop Stevie Scott into a 1,000-yard running back as well. So he's done some pretty good stuff there. Kind of an unknown on the recruiting trail. He hasn't recruited super top guys by any means. But, John, I'll start with you. The thing that I want to ask you, John, do you think or do you expect Mike Hart to get some assistance from Jay Harbaugh? Because obviously Mike Hart is replacing Jay Harbaugh as the running backs coach. He's going to move to special teams predominantly. Do you think Jay Harbaugh is going to help him out a little bit with any of the recruiting of the 2022 running backs? Because obviously Harbaugh has got a lot of talent to Ann Arbor. And he's already made relationships with a lot of these guys in this 22 class, a few five stars, a few high four stars. So do you think that Harbaugh will lend a helping hand recruiting, or do you think he will kind of just let Mike Hart take the keys to the car and let him drive himself?
No, I think Harbaugh will definitely help out Hart a lot, at least in the beginning. And I think that's one of the biggest positives of this hire, is that Jay Harbaugh isn't leaving the staff. It's not one or the other. They found a way to get both in. And I think that's going to help a lot, because, you know, Harbaugh can kind of hand over the reins to Hart after a little bit of a period and help keep those relationships intact without having a dip that can often happen when coaches get switched out. And now that Harbaugh doesn't really have a position besides special teams that he's coaching, you know, kickers and punters aren't really going to take up a lot of time. He can kind of just be the jack of all trades and help out in any recruitment that needs assistance. So if that's Mike Hart for one of these five stars that he's got him in on, that's helpful for sure. But he can also go to different positions. So I think I'm excited for Hart to be on the staff as well. I think he's going to do great here. But I also think that keeping Harbaugh on staff is going to go a long way in maintaining those 2022 relationships.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the top targets page here again, Gavin Sawchuk being a five-star that they've offered. Obviously, they're not fully in that recruitment, but they were early on for sure. Jabron Payne from Cincinnati, Ohio, a four-star running back that Mike Hart developed a relationship with when he was at Indiana, and probably will continue that as the Michigan running back coach as well. So tons of guys to choose from in this class. Steven, I'll turn it over to you. I wanted to ask you, just in terms of on-field production, Mike Hart has produced some quality college backs, and obviously with the news popping today with Zach Charbonnet going into the transfer portal, he's going to be gone. You still got Hassan Haskins back. You still got, obviously, Donovan Edwards coming in as a true freshman. I expect him to get some pretty good playing time his true freshman season. He just seems bound for that kind of role with Michigan right away with his versatility. But Blake Corum as well, being a guy who as a true freshman played pretty well in the reserve time. So in terms of the on-field production, do you think that things will get better under Mike Hart? And do you think that that will all equate to quality recruiting as well?
Yeah. I mean, you look at Mike Hart's on-field production since 2012 at the multiple locations he's been at, he's produced four different running backs with 1,000+ yard seasons. How many do you guys, Vaughn and John, think that Michigan has produced since 2012?
One.
Yeah. Yeah. One running back. You have Caron Higdon both in 2017 and 18 who reached that mark. And so when you see, it's just like, I guess it's different if you're going from, you know, maybe Alabama to Georgia to things like that, where you can pass it off as like, okay, Mike Hart is, you know, in this alternate universe, Mike Hart's the benefit of being at a high power offense. This was at, you know, this was at Eastern Michigan. This was at Western Michigan. He performed really well at Syracuse and then on to Indiana. So these are offenses that you wouldn't consider powerhouses in their conference. And when a running back coach does that from one location to the next, I think that that shows you something more than just a guy who, you know, would maybe bounce around at larger teams that are where he's just a part of a, you know, a cog in the machine, where it seems like he was driving a lot of production and able to identify that talent as well. So I like his career progression, and I feel like I've always respected the Indiana running back room. They always kind of terrified me.
Yeah,
they would always have a running back that would be someone. And Stevie Scott was a guy that most teams wanted as like a linebacker. So he identified the talent that he was, and he was, I think, second team all Big Ten as a true freshman. So when you have a guy like Donovan Edwards coming in, you have a guy like Blake Corum that you're still scratching the surface on, for a guy who can evaluate talent as well as Mike Hart has done at the smaller directional schools in Michigan, as well as winning those recruiting battles, like you said, against Ohio State while Mike Hart was at Indiana. When you have a guy who can do both, the odds are much higher when he's shown that at multiple locations than if it were just a guy coming from, like I said, one of those larger SEC schools or something like that. So I think there's just a lot of different factors that he's shown on his career path thus far that encouraged me, as well as the fact that Michigan's a job that he's wanted and was interested in back in 2017, when I believe he was talking with Harbaugh about a potential position as well. So add in that, and he's a guy who I think will work pretty hard comparatively to other position coaches, where it's, you know, maybe a little bit more than just a job, where this is a job maybe he's been building towards. So I can't see any downside. I guess the only downside would be that because you're moving Jay Harbaugh to the specific special teams coach, again, you're losing those position coach bodies for the defensive side that I think needs a lot of attention. So that's the only downside. But in terms of Mike Hart, I'm elated about him joining the staff.
Yeah, me too. I think this is a home run hire. I think it came at a pretty good time here. And I think this has potential to be really good for Michigan for a really long time. John, you wrote up a story on MaizeBrew.com that pretty much focused in on what Mike Hart is exactly bringing to Michigan on the recruiting trail. And right at the tail end here, you said to look out for a guy that I mentioned not too long ago, Jabran Payne. This is a four-star from Ohio. And Indiana, for the running back success in 2022, they've up to this point, Mike Hart only extended 7 offers, and one of them was to Payne, the four-star from Cincinnati. So I think that there's a pretty good shot that he ends up being one of their top targets at running back at the end of the day. What say you?
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to be one of the big guys that Michigan goes after. Indiana didn't make Payne's top 7, but I don't think that's means he's not going to keep going after, keep considering Michigan because Mike Hart's here now. I think it just helps having two guys that recruited him on staff now. And I think Hart's going to have a special resonance on the trail. You look at guys, you know, position coaches like, you know, Brian Hartline or at OSU or Dre Bly at UNC that, you know, played for the team and now they're back at their alma maters coaching them. And they're just killing it on the recruiting trail. And I think there's just something added that Steven touched on a little bit when you're recruiting for the team that you played for and excelled for. I think that it just has a little bit more weight with the parents. I think it's easier for them to see, you know, the passion for the school and it comes across. So I think that that's going to have a special effect. And I think someone like Jabran Payne from Ohio, I think Mike Hart understands the rivalry better than most. You know, he never beat OSU when he was at Michigan. So I think that chip's still on his shoulder. And I think landing a guy out of Ohio would be a really good win for him as his first cycle on campus.
Yeah. Getting a 4-star from Ohio is not something that Michigan does a whole lot. So I think that would go a long way, not only with Mike Hart recruiting, but just with that in general. I could probably count on one hand the amount of 4-star guys from Ohio that they've gotten over the last few cycles here. And that's something that a lot of people have been criticizing Harbaugh for, is not being able to recruit the state of Ohio effectively. So we'll definitely see if that changes with Payne or with anybody else in this 2022 class. But I'm just ecstatic about this Mike Hart hire. I think this is going to go a long ways. I think it's going to be really good for recruiting. I think it's going to be really good for the college, the backs in college right now at Michigan. And it gives me some hope that, you know, cause back with Mike Hart and Chad Henne and those guys, that was like the golden era of Michigan football in my lifetime, at least. And it just gives me a renewed sense that there's change coming, and it could be good change, what could be bad change, but it's change nonetheless. And it's something that I'm looking forward to. So I'm definitely excited to see how it all plays out. Hopefully it plays out well. Like I said, Mike Hart was one of my favorite guys growing up to watch. He was just super fun to watch tote the rock, and we'll definitely see what comes out of that. So, Steven, any other final thoughts on Mike Hart recruiting, running backs, anything?
Yeah, I think just going off of what John said, having a position coach that this was like his target job, right, kind of building to Michigan, I think that's also going to help where this isn't, you know, it could be a stepping stone for Mike Hart if he wants to continue on elsewhere, but it's a lot less likely than other position coaches where he's clearly stuck within the state a bit at Western Eastern. He's built to this, and he can pitch a lot more that he's where he wants to be. And I think there's a lot more to back that up than maybe other position coaches elsewhere can pitch. So I expect him to lean into that because he's back at his alma mater, and that provides a lot of value when you have that kind of stability that you can pitch towards recruits. So I think that adds a lot of value there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely does. Well, guys, I certainly appreciate you hopping on the pod as usual. And I thank all of the listeners for tuning in. As usual, well, we greatly appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
And Steven.
At Steven Toski.
And follow Mason Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Follow Steven's fantastic work on YouTube at Maize and Brew. Give our podcasts a like, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys on the next edition of Future Brew. Thanks for listening.